Hello and welcome to the latest installment of PSG Talking. I'm your host, Ed, and on today's show, we're looking back at Paris Saint-Germain's win over Real Sociedad in the Champions League. We're looking ahead to Sunday's clash against Stade Reims in Ligue 1. And we have CBS Sports Galazzo's Jonathan Johnson on later today to talk about the latest PSG news and rumors. First, let me remind you to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review if you can. We're also over on Substack, PSG Talk Extra Time, where you can subscribe for free and read columns from me. And of course, visit PSGTalk.com for all of your breaking PSG news. And before we get started here, if I sound a little nasally, I'm battling a cold, so try to hang in there with me. I'm riding solo here for this podcast, and we're going to break everything down. So let's just go ahead and get started here. Let's go back to last Tuesday, where PSG went on the road needing to protect a 2-0 lead over Real Sociedad. After the Mbappe benching controversy against Monaco before this match, Luis Enrique started the Frenchman, and it was his brace that propelled PSG into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. His first goal, Mbappe's first goal, especially, was something very few players that I thought have the ability to do. He had his defender dancing all over the pitch. It was sort of like, if you remember back in the day, the and one mixtape where, you know, the players would get defenders dancing and falling over, crossing them over. I mean, it was something like that. It was really a spectacle to watch what Mbappe was able to pull off against a professional defender and a good defensive team in Real Sociedad. The defender completely unsure of what Mbappe's next move would be, and Mbappe fired a shot low and hard enough that he actually broke the side netting, which is pretty incredible. I don't know if they got a radar on that shot. I'd be curious how fast that shot was really going. And so then with a 3-0 lead on aggregate, the game against Real Sociedad just really opened up, and Mbappe was able to score a second in the 52nd minute with his patented short side blast on the goalkeeper. We've seen this time and time again on the left side of the pitch. Mbappe finds himself in space and he just eyes up the goalkeeper. You think maybe a curling shot to the far corner. Oh no, he takes the short side, blasts it right past the keeper. No goalkeeper in football is going to be able to stop that. So Mbappe's brace, two incredible goals. And I thought as a whole, PSG played well enough to win, but really it was that brilliance of Mbappe that settled the nerves of PSG supporters. Getting that first goal was crucial. And again, coming off of the controversy where he subbed off at halftime, he goes to the stands to watch the game instead of sitting with his teammates. You know, there was some drama heading into this one, and he put that all to bed with this performance. So, you know, as a fan, this match was a departure from what we've been used to in previous seasons. You know, in the past, there was almost this expectation of failure at this stage, especially in the Champions League. The pressure was so high that you could at times see on the faces of the players that they didn't even want to be on the pitch. They were expecting the worst, and that led into the failures against Barcelona and Manchester United and Real Madrid over the years. I mean, this team has been kind of in their head so much. But against Real Sociedad, which a lot of, you know, pundits thought that they would give PSG a good challenge. They may not have the star power, but they've got a good cohesive defensive unit. They thought they could give PSG some trouble, and that just wasn't the case. So I thought that this was just overall a professional performance from PSG, and there were several standouts. I mentioned Kylian Mbappe already, but Lucas Beraldo, he's another player I thought performed well on the night. He arrived from Brazil in January. He stepped in, and he's surpassed all of my expectations with his play. I mean, he's probably now one of the first names on the starting lineup sheet. He's just come in. You would never know. He's never played in the Champions League before. I think that he's been just phenomenal. So full credit to him being able to step in and get the job done. We really need help defensively. We've got suspensions. We've got injuries. We've got some defenders playing out of position. So for him to come in and be the player that he has been able to be for Luis Enrique, it's made Luis Enrique's job a lot easier, the fact that he's been able to come in and step up. Staying with the defense, Nuno Mendes returned to the starting lineup. He's been out almost a year now, if not a full year, out with an injury. he wasn't perfect on the night. I don't think he was vintage Nuno Mendes, what we remember from him before he was injured. But he also didn't show many signs that his injury is going to slow him down or impact his style of play all that much. He still showed plenty of pace. He still showed that he's got the technical ability. So I thought, you know, Nuno Mendes being able to come back and really not show any signs of slowing down, it's a credit to him, his work ethic. It's a credit to the training staff at PSG. It's a credit to Luis Enrique and bringing him along slowly. I was surprised that he started this match, but they must have seen something on the training pitch and told him he's ready. So I think with him back, again, with Lucas Beraldo coming in, PSG are starting to get stronger defensively. That's going to help them as they go into the quarterfinals and hopefully later in the Champions League. You know, Vitinha, Usman Dembele, Warren Zaire-Emery, just turned 18, actually. I thought that they all had really nice moments in this match against Real Sociedad. I don't think they had the sustained quality over the 90 minutes, but I thought that all of them had moments where they were contributing. Again, a professional performance, nice standout from several players, and those players especially played very, very well. Now we have to get to the bad. I was disappointed in Bradley Barcola's performance. He was subbed off at halftime. He didn't really have the impact that I thought he would have. I think I tweeted out, oh, Barcola masterclass incoming. But far from a masterclass. I got that one wrong. Barcola scored an incredible goal in the first leg, and he's been in pretty good form. But man, against Real Sociedad, he was kind of just a non-factor with one total shot on goal. Apart from him, I thought Achraf Hakimi, I thought he had a good performance, but I'm going to put him down in the bad because he picked up a silly yellow card. He kind of left his boot in a little bit late, and I thought it was maybe shouldn't have been a yellow card, but you know, it was, and that means that he will be suspended for the first leg of PSG's quarterfinal tie. Again, with the defense, we know Nuno Mendes has come back, but does that mean now Mukiele's got to play on the right, or does Luis Enrique need to get creative? It presents some issues. When you get to the quarterfinals, you're going to want to be able to play your best team out there with Hakimi suspended due to yellow card accumulation. You're just not going to be able to play your best team because he's certainly one of the best defenders that PSG have. So PSG, they're through to the quarterfinals, defeating Real Sociedad 4-1 on aggregate. It's going to get a lot more difficult from here on out. You already know Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, and Manchester City have already, advanced to the quarterfinals. PSG, you know, they could Inter Milan, Arsenal, Barcelona. There's several other big clubs that the PSG could draw against. So nothing against Real Sociedad, but they are not Real Madrid. So it's going to get a lot more difficult. PSG are going to have to be, you know, limiting the mistakes that they did make. Players who perform poorly are going to have to step their game up. But having said all that, I thought that, you know, PSG with a first-year manager, Luis Enrique, they've got several new players who have come in from the summer and January transfer windows, young players at that, really reaching the quarterfinals of the Champions League with this squad is already an impressive accomplishment. You have to say it. I know that the opponents are different, but right now PSG have gone further this season than they have with Neymar or Lionel Messi the past two seasons. So that's something to keep in mind. And so whether PSG can advance to the semifinals depends really on who they draw. But with Mbappe playing like he did against Real Sociedad, anything is possible. When he plays like that, when he can get the ball and create and make a defender, you know, spin in a circle and score a goal, you have to put PSG as one of the favorites to win this tournament. And I think that winning 4-1 on aggregate, having Mbappe score as many goals as he did in this tie, even if they do, say, draw a Real Madrid who, Let's be honest, if you watched those two games against Leipzig, you would probably say Leipzig was the better team. They were just unfortunate. Vinicius probably should have been sent off, and he wouldn't have scored in that second leg. So, you know, they're not looking great. Bayern Munich, okay, they look decent, but You probably would say maybe just a toss-up if PSG were to draw them. It's really Manchester City is probably the team playing the best, but a lot of these big clubs are just not hitting their stride at the moment. I think a lot of them will be hoping not to draw PSG because they do have the Mbappe factor right now, where he is such a game-changer that he could just step in and score a goal really whenever he feels like it. So let's see. We've got a few more matches to solidify the quarterfinals, but if you're a PSG supporter, you got to be really happy to reach this stage of the tournament. It's going to be the first time PSG are in the quarterfinals with fans being able to come into the stadium. You know, we remember when they last reached the stage and COVID and all of that. So the Parc des Princes is going to be just rocking when this tie, whoever PSG ends up drawing. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We've got Mbappe. We've got young players playing well. I expect Barcola to have a bounce-back performance in the Champions League. We'll miss Hakimi, but Mukiele has shown that he's got the quality to step in. So we've got really solid players. I'm looking forward to whoever we draw. Hopefully it'll be a new team. I keep joking. We all know it's going to be Real Madrid just because of the drama with Kylian Mbappe potentially going there for next season. And yeah, I think that'll probably be one of the most watched Champions League ties in recent history. So I think we'll probably draw Real Madrid, but you never know. It could be anyone. Maybe we'll draw PSV advances. Maybe we'll have a PSG-PSV matchup. That could be interesting. All right, now let's look ahead to PSG's Ligue 1 match against Stade Reims. PSG defeated them earlier this season 3-0 in their stadium, but I do expect Luis Enrique to rotate his squad. We've seen this here, especially in recent weeks. Luis Enrique, you know, only playing Mbappe 45, 60 minutes, you know, kind of, and he's kind of talked about this. PSG need to prepare for life after Mbappe. They need to, with a healthy lead at the top of Ligue 1, Mbappe doesn't need to play 90 minutes. So I certainly expect if Mbappe does start, I expect him to come off at halftime or after 60 minutes, somewhere around there. I expect maybe Ugarte to start along with Kang and Lee, Randall Colomwani, Gonzalo Ramos. Even Marquinhos may return to the starting lineup as well, depending on his health. So I think Luis Enrique's got plenty of options. I think he's going to rotate his squad. This match is at the park. So I think Luis Enrique is going to feel confident moving some pieces around. And, you know, for Stade Reims, I think, you know, their manager will still. He always has his team ready to play. They play hard for him. But PSG haven't lost since early November. I just can't see PSG losing this one. So I think they'll maintain their unbeaten run. I think they're going to win this match. I think it'll be fairly comfortable, even with all of the different changes. But what I'm really hoping to see is goals from Colomwani, Ramos, Barcola. You know, if any of these players play significant minutes, really any attacker not named Mbappe. Again, Luis Enrique keeps repeating that the club needs to prepare for life after Mbappe. And so I would like to see some of these young players that we're going to be depending on for next season. I'd like to see them scoring with some kind of regularity and get some form. So something that we can look forward to. I'm going to see them getting settled more into the team. So we'll have to see what changes Luis Enrique makes. But that's one of the main things that I'm going to be looking at for this match against Reims. So interesting there. All right, let's move on. There's been a lot of PSG talk in the rumor mill, and so I wanted to reach out to our friend Jonathan Johnson from CBS Sports to help break it all down. There's rumors about you know, where Lenny Yoro will go. Could Luis Enrique actually leave for Barcelona? We also talk about, you know, with Mbappe potentially going to Real Madrid, what does that mean for Vinicius and Rodrigo? I even asked Jonathan Johnson about the McDonald's sponsorship for Ligue 1. There's been a lot of people talking about that on social media, so I wanted to get his thoughts. So, all right, without further ado, here's my interview with Jonathan Johnson. All right, welcome into the show, Jonathan Johnson, journalist for CBS Sports, based in Paris. Thanks for coming back on the show. Always good to have you. How are things on your end, Jonathan?
Yeah, doing very well, thanks. And yourself? Yeah, it's been a while, so I've been looking forward to this one.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm battling a little bit of a cold, so I might let you do a lot of the talking here. We've got a lot to cover, so let's just jump right into it. If I'm not mistaken, I saw on social media you were At the match, PSG Real Sociedad, first off, give us your thoughts on the atmosphere that you witnessed there, and then just your biggest takeaways from PSG's performance on the night.
Yeah, I was there in San Sebastian, so very much enjoyed it. It's been a away day that I've wanted to do for quite some time, so I think I was probably the most delighted out of everyone when PSG drew Real Sociedad for the round of 16. And, you know, overall the experience was really good, sort of culturally. Really, really interesting and always enjoyable. Not my first time in San Sebastian, but certainly one of the most memorable visits there. And also in terms of the performance, you know, it was very mature from a very young PSG side, you know, and sort of really made for, you know, quite a change really to what we're used to from PSG in the Champions League sort of around this time of year. We know how difficult things can get, especially when PSG are sort of up against some of the bigger names in the competition. So it felt like mission accomplished after the game, you know, and I think it was probably about as comfortable as people could have hoped for. So, you know, obviously a lot to sort of unpack within the, you know, within the sort of the collective and individual performances. But overall, you know, I think, you know, PSG fans can be quite satisfied with where PSG's European adventure is at this moment in time.
Now, that wasn't your ice pick that they pulled from the supporters that were traveling, was it? I don't know if you saw that. I guess between Real Sociedad and PSG supporters, there were some weapons confiscated.
Yeah, I did see that, unfortunately. And no, my baggage for the trip certainly wasn't big enough to house all of that.
My goodness, yeah. You know, PSG through to the quarterfinals. I know that a lot of the teams haven't been decided who's moving on, but we kind of have an idea of the remaining clubs. You know, who would be the best matchup for PSG?
Ideally, PSG Eindhoven, because you know, that would be great not only for PSG potentially in terms of sort of what you would call a doable path to the semifinals, but also in terms of the Ligue 1 versus Eredivisie coefficient. That would be, you know, pretty ideal, unless PSV drop out in the round before, which, you know, also would be good news for French football. But overall, I mean, I think at this stage of the competition, once you get into the quarterfinals, you know, you start to look at, you know, which of the teams, you know, look best. You know, not all of the big teams do look, you know, convincing at this moment in time. I mean, I know, really, I'd probably prefer to avoid Real Madrid because of all of the, you know, the kind of circus that would come with it with the Mbappe situation. But you look at sort of their performances over two legs against Leipzig, really not, you know, not very convincing at all. So I don't think there'd be too much sort of fear, you know, held sort of given the way that they're not performing at their best at this moment in time. But I think, you know, what would be nice would be to maybe avoid sort of some of the repeat draws that we've seen sort of over the years, you know, no sort of Bayern Munich, although on the pitch, you know, that might be quite a favourable draw given Bayern's situation at the moment. So maybe a new face like an Inter, somebody like that. Obviously, Porto have a challenge in overcoming Arsenal in the second leg of their game, but, you know, say Porto away, something like that. That's something we haven't really seen since the very early days of the Qatari era in Paris. So, you know, I think really I'm quite open towards whoever PSG get. I wouldn't say that there's one specific team that, you know, I think they should or I would like them to draw, but I certainly wouldn't say no to the winner of Inter Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of intrigued by Arsenal. I know they have to overcome a little bit of a deficit there. Barcelona could be interesting, but we all know it's going to be Real Madrid, which could be potentially the most watched Champions League match just with the Kylian Mbappe saga going on. But I know that any team that they draw, they're not going to be too happy about playing PSG because this is a side that hasn't lost since early November. Luis Enrique, I want to ask you about him. Talk about the job that he's done at PSG this season, not only just the performances on the pitch, but with the benching of Mbappe and changing of the lineup, he seems to have kind of autonomy to do what he wants. And we haven't seen that with a PSG manager in the QSI era. Can you just touch on that and also the job that Luis Enrique has done this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all heard it and read it after the game against Sociedad, with Nasser El Khelaifi coming out and saying that, basically whatever Luis Enrique decides, the club backs him 100%. And they're happy with the work that he's doing so far to sort of put into practice the things that they're trying to put together behind the scenes in terms of the direction that the project is going in. The history attached to this Champions League run. Youngest starting 11 in PSG's history in that second leg against Sociedad, but youngest team overall, ever to reach the quarterfinals. So, that's something that's certainly encouraging and is a massive contrast to, years gone by. And it wouldn't really have been possible without somebody like Luis Enrique, because Enrique, not only does he have the experience of having led a team to Champions League success, he also has the experience of, working predominantly with very young, talented players and, tapping into their potential, which is what he's doing, with this PSG side at the moment. The thing that I would note most regarding Enrique, and certainly specific to the Champions League, is the way that PSG have evolved in this edition. They've tightened up a bit defensively now. They look a bit more convincing, in that respect. And also Mbappe is certainly over the last two legs against Sociedad more involved. He was kind of a little bit peripheral, certainly in the away games in the group stage. I know he scored in every home game, but now it really feels like Mbappe is going to be really involved and a threat, whether it's a home leg, whether it's an away leg, and the rest of the team is just built to sort of work as a collective, sort of including him, but also, just behind him as well. So it feels like, PSG is still a work in progress, but equally the signs of encouragement that we saw earlier on in the season that people maybe started to doubt towards the end of the group stage, because it was, quite a close brush with potentially dropping out and going down into the Europa League. I think that the feelings that progress is being made in the first few months under Luis Enrique were well-founded, because, I think PSG now look a lot better set, to compete in these European games than they have done for many, many years. They can be the equal of the teams that they're coming up against. And although we can argue that they haven't perhaps been tested by a truly elite side just yet, that might happen in the quarterfinals, we don't know. PSG have looked a good match for pretty much everyone that they've come up against, bar the unexpected blowout against Newcastle, which at this kind of moment is a little bit academic, because obviously they've dropped out of the competition this year now. So I think, Luis Enrique, the way that he's got PSG performing domestically, clear at the top of Ligue 1, into the latter stage of the Coupe de France, and now into the quarterfinals of the Champions League as well, it's very encouraging, and it bodes well for the future. And, the way that he's talking as well, not just sort of when he's drawn on the Kylian Mbappe situation, but he's talking about the future overall, sort of where he sees himself, where he sees the project going. It's all sort of geared towards, the longer term. It's not just sort of what impact it has this season. It's what impact it will have next season. We already know that he's starting to try to rotate a bit and see more of the players so that he can work out and have more of an idea of how he wants PSG to look once Kylian Mbappe moves on, and also potentially sort of beyond next season as well. So, I think all of that is very, very encouraging.
Let's stick with Luis Enrique, because earlier this week, there's always these rumors. We don't know how credible they are, but I do want to get your thoughts. There was rumors about Luis Enrique potentially going back to Barcelona to be their manager. What do you make of those rumors? And just the bigger picture, if he doesn't go there, do you think that Luis Enrique can become PSG's version of a Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool or Pep Guardiola at Manchester City? Is Luis Enrique the manager we've been looking for all these years?
I don't know. I think it's a bit too early to say whether he could potentially develop into being like a Klopp kind of figure. But, we'll give him time to see how far he and PSG can manage to go together. At this moment in time, it does seem to be, a good start, as far as all are concerned in the way that PSG are playing, but also, the progress that they've made and sort of the minimal pressure that's being put on Luis Enrique, because PSG these days, in terms of the project, in terms of the squad makeup, it's a lot it's a lot more balanced than it was before. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really put much stock in the Barcelona rumors. You know, yes, we know what Barcelona have been in the past. We also know what Barcelona are right now. And to be honest with you, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for any really serious managerial candidate to be looking at the Barcelona position. Of course, there's going to be a lot of big names linked with that role. You know, the likes of Mikel Arteta at Arsenal as well is another name that's been thrown out there. But for me, I would be really, really surprised to see a really sort of serious top level elite tactician, you know, to go there at this moment in time, given the issues that have been there. I think actually that Xavi will probably be all right. He'll probably rebound somewhere, you know, fairly substantial. But in terms of, you know, the difference between the names being linked with Barca now and the name that will probably end up replacing Xavi in the future, I think that there's actually probably going to be a fairly big drop-off in quality, because ultimately I don't think you can really project far enough into the future, you know, for a really serious managerial candidate to agree to take that job at this moment in time. So I wasn't particularly worried when Luis Enrique's name came up and was linked with that.
Yeah, it'd be hard to leave PSG with the young players and the financial advantages you have to go to Barcelona right now. And actually, let's stick with them for a second, because Ousmane Dembele, you know, he hasn't been scoring this season at the rate we would all want, but he's been playing really well, creating lots of chances. I think the most surprising thing for Dembele at PSG is that he's stayed surprisingly healthy considering, you know, his career so far. Do you have a theory on why Dembele has been able to stay fit this season after years of being injured at Barcelona?
I mean, I think first and foremost, the big difference for Dembele is he's a lot more mature now than he was at Barca, but also at Dortmund as well. You know, it's taken a while for him to really realize what it takes to be a top level athlete, but you know, he seems to have realized that now. He takes himself you know, a lot more seriously. I think he's married away from the pitch, so you know, I think that's probably contributed towards the maturity level as well. But I think as well, it's also been good for him to get back into a French speaking environment where he feels a bit more at home, a bit more at ease, and sort of able to express himself. I do still think that there is a big difference between Dembele's best days and sort of a middling Dembele performance. You know, we've seen him be absolutely sublime at times, and we've seen him be, you know, pretty woeful as well. But the encouraging thing is he's a, you know, he's a player that Luis Enrique clearly believes in, and is a key part of how Luis Enrique sees this PSG side, not just this season, but moving forward. You know, you look at the different role that he asked him to play against Sociedad in midweek, you know, and that points towards a player who is trusted by his manager. And, you know, somebody who is going to be a cornerstone around which, you know, the club looks to build in the future.
Yeah, and we got to give credit to PSG's medical staff who've been, you know, I've been critical of them in the past with just how many players get injured, how long it takes them to get back. They seem to, I don't know if they've made any different hiring choices or different tactics in terms of how to get players to stay healthy. Whatever they're doing, it's working, so keep it up. And so I want to get into the transfer market now. I'm going to throw a couple names your way and just curious whether you think that they're realistic signings for PSG this summer. Joshua Kimmich, Bayern Munich, Bruno Guimaraes over at Newcastle. These are players that have been rumored, you know, earlier this year, but does PSG realistically sign them this summer?
I think Guimaraes is certainly someone who, you know, is a really intriguing possibility, because one, he would fit very well in this team at this moment in time. He's almost basically what PSG, you know, are missing, what they've been looking for. You know, I also think with Newcastle's situation, we know that they're probably going to have to sacrifice one big name, and that, you know, there hasn't been any breakthrough in terms of a contract extension for Guimaraes just yet. So for me, I think that if, you know, given the choice between those two names, you know, I certainly think that you know, Guimaraes would probably be the more realistic one, or the one that I would put money on PSG to sign if I was given the choice of the two. In terms of Kimmich, I think that Kimmich will be a very interesting addition for PSG as well. You know, somebody who brings, you know, a good level of versatility. and you know, a big boost in midfield, but someone who could also fill in at right back as and when Hakimi is unavailable, which will be the case, by the way, for the first leg of the quarterfinals. But the only thing that I would say is that, you know, he's kind of been part of this very difficult period for Bayern Munich, Kimmich, where they've started to suffer in a similar way to how we saw PSG suffering, you know, with too many stars in recent years, you know, back in the days of Neymar and Messi. And Kimmich, you know, seems to be somebody who, you know, will probably be kept on by Bayern, I think, in terms of a regeneration project for whoever follows on from Thomas Tuchel. And I think that would require PSG to probably pay a bit over the odds for somebody who, while he's not old, he's not getting any younger either. And I think that overall, the better fit for what PSG are looking for of those two would be Gimenez.
Both Bayern Munich and Newcastle could be maybe potentially difficult to negotiate with. We'll have to see how that goes. All right, you might have to help me on one of these names. So over at Napoli, we know that, you know, Mbappe is likely leaving. Victor Osimhen has been a player that is thought to maybe be available who could come in and replace Mbappe. With all the goals that he scores, he'll be pricey, but he's certainly been in the transfer rumor mill as a PSG target. And then we've got his teammate. I'm just going to go with Kvara. I think that's his, we'll shorten it that if you want to attempt his full last name. Do you think that either one of those players could be potential signings for PSG, or are they destined for the Premier League?
Yeah, Kvaratskhelia.
There you go. That's why you're the professional here.
Well, I mean, it takes time to learn some of these names. I'm not claiming that it's an expert pronunciation either. But yeah, I mean, they're two obvious kind of targets to be linked with a club like PSG, given where Napoli are at the moment, the success that they've had in the past, and sort of the fact that they're not going to be able to repeat that. So we'll likely have to move on a player or two come the summer. I think that in terms of the fit, Osimhen would probably be an easier player to accommodate than Kvaratskhelia. I think that the latter would probably require a bit more rejigging in terms of where everyone fits, and Osimhen, in terms of sort of how PSG are playing now, you know, would come in and basically be able to more or less replicate what PSG have been doing with Mbappe. But also, the other thing that I would say is I haven't seen enough of Kolomoani or Ramos without Mbappe to really truly feel like any judgment that we make on them is fair. Certainly, I think Kolomoani has been given more chances than Ramos, and there's room for improvement for Kolomoani. But with Ramos, I feel like he really hasn't been given a properly fair crack of the whip just yet. And I'm hoping in that rotation that we're seeing, so that Luis Enrique can get a better look at everyone for next season, that he gets to have a proper look at Gonzalo Ramos, because we've seen Ramos has been capable of being a prolific goal scorer, you know, both domestically and in Europe with Benfica. And it just feels like he's just missing the opportunity and the regular minutes with PSG to potentially be able to replicate that. So I would rather give those two a few more chances before diving into the market, potentially to bring in somebody who will cost a lot, like Osimhen, you know, in terms of both the transfer fee and also the salary as well. You know, I'm not saying PSG can't afford it. Obviously, once Mbappe is off the books, it will be possible. But I'm not convinced it's necessarily the move that PSG need to make immediately.
Yeah, it might depend also on how much Mbappe leaves behind in terms of his loyalty bonus or his signing on bonus at Real Madrid, how much money PSG will have to spend. Real Madrid, PSG are going to be battling with them potentially in the quarterfinals. We don't know yet, but for the signature of Leny Yoro over at Lille, he, for me, should be PSG's top transfer target. I don't know how you feel about that one, but where do you see his future lying? Is it at PSG? Is it Real Madrid? Does he stay at Lille, or does he go elsewhere?
I certainly, you know, agree. I think he should be and is, you know, I know for a fact that he is, you know, one of PSG's top targets coming into the summer. They will try everything they can to bring him in. I think he'd be an ideal fit, not just for what PSG are trying to do now, but also, you know, in the future, how they're trying to develop. So, you know, I think that PSG will try very, very hard to make sure that they're the club that picks him up from Lille this summer. Obviously, with Real Madrid, there's sort of temptations to draw the parallels between Rafael Varane and his breakthrough with Lens and sort of Euro now making his name with Lille. And then obviously we know that Varane went to Real Madrid and was part of their furniture really for the best part of 10 years or so. So I think that PSG have to do everything they can to keep him out of the clutches of not just Real Madrid, but a number of bigger European clubs as well, who'll be rivaling them for his signature. But I think the project.
Do you know any of the clubs that might be interested? I've only heard PSG and Real Madrid. Have you heard any other clubs interested in him?
There's a number of them. I mean, some of them in the Premier League have been linked with him as well. I think it would be too early for that kind of move, especially to one of the bigger Premier League clubs. But I think given what PSG have shown with the project in the last year or so, and sort of the Frenchification of the squad, that it's going to be more appealing and more convincing for Euro in terms of a potential destination for him to continue his development, more so than it would have been, say, 18 months ago.
I want you to kind of think about Real Madrid squad. We saw them play the other night with Mbappe's impending arrival there. Do you think that means that eventually, maybe not immediately, but maybe after a couple seasons, after we kind of see how it all fits with Mbappe in that squad, do you think one of maybe either Vinicius Jr. or Rodrigo will have to leave Real Madrid to make room for Mbappe for Real Madrid to get the benefit of their investment in Mbappe? Does one of those two players need to move on?
I think how Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe sort of coexist will be really interesting to see how that develops, because at the end of the day, both kind of favour playing in the same role, that sort of role on the left that comes inside. I think Mbappe is the more capable of being a long-term fit sort of through the middle. And in theory, there is enough room for, the two of them plus Rodrigo plus Jude Bellingham. But my feeling is that one player will miss out of that quartet, and it's most likely to be Rodrigo. And ultimately, it'll be interesting to see how that, competitive rivalry between Vinny Jr. and Mbappe develops, because at the end of the day, both are quite similar in terms of their base profile. And it really does feel like ultimately it could be just one or the other. But I think that, Rodrigo is possibly the one who's under greatest threat. And also the other thing that you have to bear in mind is, should Mbappe play through the middle, it's not just simply a question of sticking him in there and Real Madrid scoring a few more goals. It's sort of how that chemistry develops between him, Vinny Jr., Rodrigo, and then Bellingham behind. Because you look at what Bellingham's been capable of this season when he's been required, to step up and help to fill that void that is missing at the moment with no obvious focal point of the attack. It's going to be difficult for Bellingham to maintain those kind of levels of productivity in terms of goals scored, assists provided, once you bring in somebody like an Mbappe. So it'll be interesting to see the impact that Mbappe potentially has, on Real Madrid's starting 11. But let's wait until he's actually signed and been officially announced before we start speculating about what it might mean for certain players.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me. I don't think it's going to go as well as everyone's thinking. I could be wrong, but I just don't know how well this is going to go. One thing I just wanted to sneak this question in with Vinicius. Was that a sending off? Was that a red card for you, what he did against Leipzig with the hands on the throat? I forget the player's name over at Leipzig, but you know the incident I'm talking about. Was that a red card for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be a red card for anybody, and for it to have not been, I think he can consider himself extremely fortunate, and Real Madrid can consider themselves extremely fortunate, because having him avoid a red card in that situation not only helped them sort of in the moment in that match, but also potentially helps them moving forward in the competition as well.
And you just knew he was going to score. All right, here's the last question for you, Jonathan. Thiago Motta, our old friend, he has been having an incredible season for my favorite Serie A club, Bologna, just because he's the manager, so I've kind of latched on to Bologna. They're sitting in fourth in Serie A. Do you think that, you know, everyone's talking about his future. Maybe he, you know, with Luis Enrique doesn't work out, maybe he comes back. But even for next season, he's being floated as potentially a good fit at Manchester United or another top Premier League club. So do you think that's realistic? Where do you see him fitting in well if he does go to the Premier League? Or do you think he will stay at Serie A and maybe go to another team or stay at Bologna? What do you think his future looks like?
I mean, I do think that at some point, Thiago Motta will coach PSG. I think, you know, it's highly likely to happen. PSG have already shown interest in him in the past. And for me, I think that he is sort of the obvious candidate to potentially come in after Luis Enrique, whenever that might be. But we also know that former players turning coach of PSG hasn't always worked out as people assumed it would have done. You know, Mauricio Pochettino is a good example of that. So, you know, I think as well, you know, just enjoy sort of the moment with Luis Enrique while things are going good, while something, you know, is coming together nicely. And then, you know, we'll sort of see what the future holds sort of in the seasons to come. But, you know, Motta is a very interesting managerial prospect, not just in Serie A, but across Europe as well. I think for me, I find the question of the Premier League more of a cultural one than in terms of whether he'd be proficient enough to coach a Premier League side. I think he'd have to prepare for a long time before making that kind of move. And the obvious next destination for him outside of Serie A would be Ligue 1, because it's a league that he knows, it's a culture that he knows. You know, he'd be able to sort of hit the ground running. Lyon looked at him in the past as well. You know, so it's, you know, we shouldn't just assume that if he comes back to France, it'll only be with PSG. He could come back, go somewhere else, do a good job with them before eventually sort of potentially taking the PSG job. But, you know, I do think that in some way, shape or form, you know, coaching a Ligue 1 side is going to be in Thiago Motta's future sooner rather than later. So for me, I think it's going to be interesting to see where Bologna finish, which potential managerial vacancies open up in Serie A. You know, he'd be a catch for a number of teams there. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if, you know, if something were to happen at Lens, for example, in Ligue 1, you know, if they would consider potentially going for Motta, you know, that kind of scenario. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement in the summer, not just in France, not just in Serie A, but, you know, across the board. And I think that Motta is well placed to be strongly considered in a number of different conversations. So, you know, let's revisit the situation in a couple of months' time. But I think that the chances are high that, you know, an interesting offer will be put in front of Thiago Motta that he might be tempted by this summer.
Yeah, and we can't say it enough. I mean, historically great season at Bologna. So a lot of jobs will be coming his way. It's interesting he said, you know, the cultural fit, maybe going to the Premier League wouldn't be a good fit and he'd have a lot to learn. So that's really interesting. And then just, I lied, I've got one more question that came up in my head. The sponsorship for Ligue 1, any thoughts on going from Uber Eats to McDonald's? This is something that kind of got everyone on social media all riled up. I really honestly could care less. I mean, money's money, but does it make the league a little clownish, you know, pun intended, to go and switch to McDonald's from Uber Eats? I mean, and the league already got a lot of slack for Uber Eats, but any thoughts on that?
I mean, no, not really. I don't think it's derogatory. I mean, anyone who knows sort of Ligue 1, you know, and its history and has been to a game sort of like in years gone by, you know, McDonald's has always had, you know, a fairly decent, you know, association with the French games, like going back to the days when you used to have the sort of meal ticket on the back side of your ticket to get into the game. So, you know, McDonald's to me in theory is actually probably more of a better fit than Uber Eats was. But yeah, like you said, at the end of the day, really the big question is the financial one. You know, is this a good deal for the league? And yeah, it's an improvement on the current deal. So, you know, absolutely, I think it's you know, good to see the league improving in these kind of sponsorship areas. You've also got the addition of TikTok France, which was announced earlier today, I believe. We're recording this on a Friday, so yeah, sort of a couple of hours ago. It's going to be interesting to see if that means there might be some changes digitally in terms of the, you know, the kind of content packages that the Ligue 1 is able to offer in the very near future. But the big question, you know, surrounding French football, and specific to, you know, Ligue 1 clubs at this moment in time, is what's going to happen with the TV rights. Because, as much as the McDonald's deal over Uber Eats is an improvement and will bring in more money, it's nothing if you don't have a strong TV deal to sort of build this all up around. And for the moment, nothing official has been communicated regarding the situation with both domestic and the international rights. You know, we're now into March, and it's a deal that's going to have to become active in time for next season. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to do still by the LFP, but sort of in isolation, just looking at that deal, I think it's good news for the league.
Yeah, we're going to miss the Uber Eats driver delivering the ball, so McDonald's will have to come up with something. But Jonathan, you certainly delivered here in this interview. Thanks so much for going through all the latest rumors and news breaking about Paris Saint-Germain. Always enjoy talking to you. I know it's late over in Paris, so we'll let you run. Thanks so much. Catch you next time.
No problem. Thanks a lot for having me. Always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next one.